Probably awful big subject to cover in this short period of time tonight, but we're going to try to deal with it a little bit. I want to talk about six or seven reasons for the homosexual advance in our society. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." It's always interesting if you know language. Of course, the word man in the Hebrew is the word ish, and the word for woman is the word isha, and a is a suffix that means out of. So the word woman meant out of man. But if you think about it, well, man, M-A-N, and woman, W-O-M-A-N. And you have male, M-A-L-E, and you have fe, F-E, M-A-L-E. It's just like that all throughout the languages in many places. You see the relationship between man and woman. And the very root of the word woman is that the woman was made out of man. Now, kind of getting to our subject tonight, one of the reasons that their homosexuality has made such an advance in society is because of weak Christianity. Weak Christianity. And weak marriages among Christians. Mark chapter 5, very interesting verse, probably bigger than we know. Verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." Ye are the light of the world. Verse 13 says, "Ye are the salt of the world." You know, long before homosexuality became a problem, a divorce became a problem. I think Dr. Van Gelderen was here and said that in 1901, one marriage out of 256 in America ended up in divorce. One out of 256. Josh McDowell in 1990 wrote a book about Christianity and the moral problems of evangelical Christians and those who are people who claim to be born again, who believe the Bible. And in his survey, he found out that the divorce rate among evangelical Christians was just a little bit less than in general public. And he found the teenage pregnancy rate or loss of virginity rate among teenage young people in evangelical churches was just a little bit less than general public. And so Christians have paved the way for this problem by the bad marriages, divorce rate among Christians. They're the ones who paved the way for the homosexual problem. In fact, the Milwaukee Journal, I don't know, maybe it was 6-7 years ago, they had on the editorial page, they had an article written by a pro-homosexual advocate And his letter was written to Christians. And he said, how dare you Christian hypocrites tell us about marriage? How can you tell us what's right about marriage? That's what the article said. Your churches are full of divorce, and you're trying to tell us what's right about marriage. They got it right. They got it right. And you know, as you think about that, there's a lot of wrong thinking about marriage and Christian people. Do you know the highest divorce rate in America is found in the Bible Belt? I wouldn't call it the Bible Belt because it isn't. But what they call the Bible Belt, Alabama, Mississippi, it's called the Bible Belt. The highest divorce rate in America is found in the Bible Belt. Now, yes, granted, the rest of the country, they don't even marry, they live together. But the highest divorce rate is found in those couple states. You know why? Because of dating. The Southern culture is a dating culture. A dating culture. And girls start putting makeup on and dressing like grown-ups at a very early age. And it's all about attracting boys. And if you don't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend in seventh grade, there's something wrong with you. If you ever lived down south, you know it's so. Dating culture. And those states are permeated with a dating culture. And Pastor Hatcher used to have a sermon called Puppy Love Leads to a Dog's Life. Dating, that's what dating is. And we don't even have that one figured out in our church yet. Courtship is God's plan. Dating is little marriages. Little marriages. And little divorces. Giving yourself away to all sorts of people. Maybe not physically, but emotionally, psychologically. You know, there's a lot of wrong thinking about marriage. There's a lot of people, young people who have this idea that marriage is the key to happiness. Well, you know, my Bible tells me Jesus Christ is the key to happiness. And if you think marriage is the key to happiness, then talk to the millions of people who have gotten divorces, and it's because marriage isn't the key to happiness. Jesus Christ is. And there's many people who sold their soul because they were so worried that they weren't going to get married. They married anybody, and they spent the rest of their life in misery because they swallowed the lie of the devil. We have those false views of beauty. You know, the last I figured out was that there's a beauty that's skin deep and there's a beauty that's on the inside. And for most people, the beauty that's skin deep wears out. I remember standing by the bedside of a lady who was a beauty pageant winner as a young lady. You'd never know it as she took her last breath. You would never know it. And what happens when a marriage based on beauty and sensuality, when age process takes place? Well, I guess that's the end of the marriage. So the number one reason, I believe, that for the homosexual advance is it's been paved the way by weak Christianity. Weak Christianity. The second, we'll just go to the next one. What's the another issue that is bigger than this issue that is everywhere? Turn with me to Hebrews 12. A lot of different facets to this. And some of these are related and try to say one specific thing is kind of not giving the full story. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, if you put all this together, notice it says, talking about bitterness and how it defiles. And then it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane, that means a secular, godless person as Esau. Notice the connection. Bitterness produces a loss of morals. Bitterness produces a loss of morals. But first of all, bitterness. What is bitterness? Simply put, bitterness many times involves some kind of hurt, but really it's more than that. Esau was hurt by his brother, but it was really bigger than that. Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. And then when it came time to want God's blessing, and he couldn't get it, he was very angry. And he was angry at Jacob. And really, what did the birthright mean? The birthright meant that he was going to take the responsibility of being the spiritual leader of the family. And he said, I don't want to be the spiritual leader of the family. There's a lot of men like that today, aren't they? I don't want to be the spiritual leader. I don't want to be the one leading in devotions. I don't want to be there in church every service. I don't want to live a moral life. I want to be free. I want to live for myself. That was his decision when he sold his birthright. And then when he wanted the blessing that comes with it, he was angry. But really, bitterness is blaming somebody else. Blaming somebody else. A lot of people blame God. A lot of blaming God, right? Something happened, I'm going to blame God. And that's what the people of Israel did. They blamed God. You know, student doesn't get their homework done. They get a homework slip and they get bitter at the teacher. I mean, they didn't do the homework, but the teacher gave them homework. They're bitter. I don't like that teacher. Really? Teacher says, this is the rule. And they get a demerit slip and they're bitter at the teacher. I mean, they're the one that broke the rule. They chose to do it. But they're bitter. Bitter people try to attack and destroy other people. They say lies about them. They twist the story. They pit. But some of you know Dr. Jim Van Gelderen. It was interesting. One day, somehow I heard this story. He said that every homosexual he has ever met is bitter. A bitter person. Bitterness is a very serious thing. And we live in a society that everybody has someone to blame for whatever happened. Well, you know, we need to realize that God's still in control. And we can trust Him even whatever happens. We can trust Him. We don't have to let this destroy us. But you know, blame shifting is a very real part of society. And that's not too new. Because remember, when Adam sinned and God came to him and asked an account, he said, "Well, God, it's your fault. This woman that you gave me, she's the one that gave me the fruit." And so right from the very beginning, we find that the human nature, it's natural to be a blamer. And to blame God, that happens. And there are lots of negative results. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 1. This tells us another issue here about this, about what is taking place today. And so people who are bitter say, "I can live the way I want. I've been hurt. Something happened to me. I don't have to have God ruling over my life. I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I please." It isn't quite that simple, but now let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Notice what it says. Verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him," that's the things of God, "from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." I was talking to my friend at the university, and he has a PhD, and I said, "What do you see when you see a butterfly?" He says, "A butterfly?" I say, "I see God. This little tiny creature, 10,000 lenses to its little eyes. 10,000 lenses. Wow. The Bible says these things are clearly seen. But how is it that there's so many people that don't see it? It's because there was a choice they made. Verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." Now, what does it mean to glorify Him not as God? Now, this is really important, young people, because some of you are right at this point. They glorified Him not as God. That means God is God. That means He's the Lord. That means that we are going to accept and submit to His laws for our life. We're going to submit to His laws for our life. It's kind of interesting how things have changed so much. I just read a quote in The Watchman about Ted. But Ted Koppel, remember Ted Koppel who had Nightline on ABC? Yeah, he was an ABC reporter, and he was speaking at one of the commencements of Harvard or Yale or something. And he said, and this wasn't that long ago, he said the Ten Commandments are the most important set of laws in the world. All right and wrong are based on the all right and wrong is based on the Ten Commandments, and society cannot exist without the Ten Commandments. That was probably less than 15 years ago he said that. That would be considered absurd today. But notice here, let's put this together. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what? You got to look at the word. Was what? Darkened. Why was their heart darkened? Why was their heart darkened? Because they refused for God to be God, and they refused to be thankful. And the result of that was darkness of the mind. Now, isn't it true? There is a huge divide in America. There's two huge people in this nation. And two huge groups. And one group doesn't see it, sees it the opposite the way the other group does. That is just a reality. Why? Because the result, the judgment of rejecting God's law is darkness. And the greatest judgment that could ever happen is the darkening of the mind. Because when your mind is darkened, that means you don't think correctly. And if you don't think correctly, you don't know you don't think correctly. That's the sad part about it. It says, and it goes on, they change the glory of incorruptible God into an image of like man. Verse 24, God gave them up to uncleanness. For this cause, verse 26, for God gave them over to vile affections. There's homosexuality right there. Okay, so the rebellion of man against God and his law produces a darkness of the mind. And the word vile affections there is referring to homosexuality. Another issue I think that is true today, we're going to call it the issue of humanism. I was thinking about this today. Judges 20:25. Anybody know that verse? The day of the judges, men did that which was what? Right in their own eyes. And you know what? Today, isn't that the issue? What's truth? What's right? What's wrong? There is nothing wrong. There's nothing, no category of right and wrong. It's whatever you think. That's what it is today, right? Now think about it in the period of Judges. What was one of the big problems of the period of Judges? What happened at Gibeah? Is that Gibeah or Gibeon? What happened? What about the whole tribe of Benjamin? Given over to what? Defending homosexuality. Why? Because there was no standard. There's no authority. And you know, we live in that day. What is the authority? What about the authority of the Bible? I mean, we could just, you know, let's not preach to those people out there. Let's preach to the church. What's the authority today? You know, the authority today is man's mind. Like we said last Sunday night, what do they say? Oh, Bible doesn't say that. Bible doesn't say that. I mean, that's talking about the fundamentalist today. Bible doesn't say that. What's the authority? There's no authority today. Whatever you think, your mind is God, not the Bible, not the truth. That's humanism, isn't it? Man is the center of the universe. We have to kind of go quickly here. But um, everybody has this idea that they can decide what's important, what's not important. They can obey what they want to obey, and they can disobey what they want to obey. We have this, you know, I was thinking about this, the different, I better not go there. We better go to a different one. Okay. Number six, I will call it the love of the evolutionary emphasis of the love of pleasure. The evolutionary emphasis of the love of pleasure. You know, what does that mean? The most, and it kind of relates to humanism. But evolution says there is no morality. It's all about the physical. It's all about the physical. Doesn't matter. Beast, people, polygamy, whatever. Because the most important thing is the physical. Not the spiritual, but the physical and pleasure. You know, some of you won't understand what I'm saying. Even though there's conditions in the Bible that says people shouldn't be remarried, what do some Christians say? What do some Christians say? The most important thing is that they're happy. Doesn't matter what the Bible says. The most important thing is that they're happy. Number six, I have, I think one of the greatest emphasis today is, and this is kind of goes with this, is the godless thinking that is promoted in the public sector. Do you know when homosexual laws are passed that makes that marriage right, that now gives all public school teachers the right to picture homosexual marriage as proper and fitting and cannot be objected to. You know, I can't quite imagine that there are more Christian kids in public school than ever before. And children from 4K throughout school, public school, are bombarded with homosexual propaganda. And the most conservative of Christian kids will come out of the public school. Maybe they won't say it's okay, but you'd very rarely find one who is militantly on God's side. Because the method of the public school is toleration and acceptance. And there's something wrong with you if you have a moral standard. Well, we live in very serious days. You know, nothing just happens in a vacuum. Nothing just happens. We could probably list a bunch of other reasons. And you know, some of those reasons are things that we tolerate every day in life that affect our thinking. And I wonder, do we have critical thinking? Do we think about what we allow in our lives? Do we think about what we allow in our homes? Do we think about how we let our children act? Do we ever think about any of those things have any meaning? Do we ever think about if we allow those things, we are allowing thinking to take root in a person's life that could very easily lead to the next thing, and then to the next thing, and to the next thing? You know, this didn't happen overnight. There's quite a change from 1901, when the average divorce was 1 out of 256, and that's the whole population, including all even unsaved people, to where it is today. It didn't get there by accident. Really, the leading issue here, the leading issue is that the Christian element of society is the salt of the earth. And when the salt of the earth becomes weak, the world will just take it and go. And we need to, you know, even if we have made plenty of mistakes, we all have, rather than protect ourselves and not deal with this because it's too close to home, we need to be humble and say, you know what? God says this is the way it is, and I'm going to stand with God. And be strong about it. Otherwise, we just contribute to the weakness of society and the weakness of Christianity. We have to agree with God, even though it might get close to home. Because we need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be standing true and agree with the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today that the greatest thing is to be saved and how it changes our thinking. And now, Lord, with saved minds, I pray that we would dedicate ourselves to knowing the Bible and agreeing with it and standing along on behalf of the truth of your word. And so, Lord, help us to be wise and discerning in these days. And help us, Lord, not to allow little things to go just because it's inconvenient or it would make us different. Help us, Lord, to be thoroughly Christian in our lives and what we are producing in our homes. And I pray the young people will be challenged today, tonight, to give themselves in complete obedience to you. That none of these little foxes will stay in their life that could destroy future relationships in their life. And heads bowed and eyes closed, you hear tonight, and you say, you know, the Spirit of God is convicting me about some things in my life. I need to agree with the Lord on it. Maybe it's not easy. We still need to agree with the Lord and say, you know, the truth is the truth. And that's what I'm going to live for, and that's what I'm going to stand for. That's what I'm going to make sure we do in our home. And God has been speaking to your heart about that tonight. Say, Pastor, I need to make a decision about that tonight, and I just want to raise my hand and ask you to pray for me. Anyone here tonight? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you now for this opportunity. Bless our time of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.